Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house. We got a busy show today. We got a busy show this week. So, unfortunately, we've only got him for this hour of the show because then we got a statewide town hall meeting coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But, John, maybe we'll see if there's some openings later in the week and we can get you back in here or something because more Joker. We can always use more Joker here on the show. But clutch your pearls. Get ready to clutch your pearls because this will be the most unwoke hour of the week. I think that's a safe prediction. But, hey, John, good to see you, though. Did you listen in on that conversation I had with the Democrat Gallatin County attorney yesterday?
I did.
What did you think?
Weasel. Absolute weasel. And he's trying to somehow, he puts it off on the other. People out there have these concerns about ICE and about them violating people's rights. So we're going to do this. Well, who are these people? And what rights have been violated? And you know, he's just completely full of crap. He's a far left Democrat who doesn't want to help ICE get rid of the scum of the third world that has invaded your state through Joe Biden.
Yeah, when I went back and listened to the transcript, and I could kind of tell even in real time, and I had people message me, like, he didn't really answer any of the questions really at all. He wanted people to think that they were working with ICE when in reality they're standing in the way of ICE. And then it was also like the Gallatin County commissioners simultaneously are undermining the sheriff in Gallatin County, who put together a great agreement, as I understand it. The reimbursement rate for the Gallatin County Jail was initially going to be much lower, and the sheriff and others, I think Congressman Zinke is what I've heard, helped negotiate a higher reimbursement rate from ICE for the local jail. It was going to be a good deal all around for Gallatin County, for ICE, you name it. But then this far-left, Soros-style, weak-on-crime Gallatin County attorney started ginning up the local left-wing Democrat Party base, and whether it's in Bozeman or whether it's in San Francisco or whether it's at the DNC, the Democrat Party is just completely beholden to their far-left base. The inmates are running the asylum. And so I think even these Democrat Gallatin County commissioners were thinking, hey, we should really do this deal. Yeah, we don't really, you know, they've never been concerned about the illegal alien invasion or the crime in Bozeman. But I think they knew that the people would see this as a good deal, but yet they couldn't say no. They were too afraid to stand up to their far-left base.
Well, there needs to be some kind of mechanism in place in which, say, ICE out of Bozeman communicates either both to the U.S. attorney here in Montana and to their bosses out of Salt Lake, who then funnel that stuff right to D.C., right to people like Tom Holman, and they figure out a way, okay, what federal funds are going into Gallatin County? Stop them off. Choke them off. You don't want to help us, we're not helping you.
And then the latest news is within the last 24 hours. Remember that stupid bingo story? That's a non-story.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous story. This Soros-style Gallatin County attorney now is dropping felony charges in some cases, and she's using the bingo game stupid non-story as her excuse. She's just a soft-on-crime Soros-style prosecutor, plain and simple.
That's utterly ridiculous. Tuesday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton show. We will break down the absolute latest on the ongoing trade battles. What do we expect to happen? What is the absolute impact inside of the markets? We'll also talk about Trump's big trip to the Middle East. What is all the news coming out of that? All that and more. You won't want to miss it. Make sure that you are there. Tuesday edition, Clay and Buck.
It's May 13th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Frog Jumping Day, which dates back to an 1865 story by author Mark Twain about two friends in Calaveras County, California, who placed a wager on which of their pet frogs could jump higher. The tale would eventually be known as the Notorious Jumping Frog of Calaveras County. The current frog jumping record is held by Rosie the Riveter, who jumped 21 feet 5 and 3 quarter inches in 1986. Also on this date, in 2019, actress Felicity Huffman pled guilty for taking part in the National College Entrance Exam scandal, which would come to be known later as Operation Varsity Blues. Huffman admitted to honest services fraud after it was discovered that she and many other families paid large sums of money to ensure their children attend some of the nation's most elite colleges and universities. She would eventually be sentenced to 14 days in jail and 1 year of supervised release. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This week across central Montana, the United States Air Force is hosting town hall meetings starting in Lewistown, then Fairfield and Great Falls. They're talking about the Sentinel project, the missile upgrade taking place with all these nuclear missile silos here in Montana. You can find the full story, the details, the schedule at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, check out our Montana Talks podcast. Very interesting conversation with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Check it out on the Montana Talks podcast.
My life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Hey,
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, so yeah, I just shared that KRTV story with you there. So first, the far-left Gallatin County attorney stands up and opposes this agreement with ICE to help ICE get these criminal illegal aliens that have flooded Gallatin Valley out of the valley. She gins up the far-left base. That then gets the Democrat county commissioners afraid, so they end up opposing the agreement. Now, she used that non-story, the stupid story about the bingo game, which, as you and I have talked before, is a non-story. She's using that to drop felony charges against local crime suspects. So to me, again, she is just a soft on crime, Soros-style prosecutor who doesn't want to go after illegal aliens and wants to go soft on other criminals as well here. But what's your read on that story?
Well, 2 points is here. One of them is a PFMA, a partner family member assault charge. Imagine if you're some wife out here and this was charged, was against your boyfriend, your husband who beat the crap out of you, and now this communist is going to drop the charges just as a shot at the police department. You imagine that? But here's the other thing. They are also felony drug related offenses. So Kurt Almy here, U.S. attorney, just calls the DEA and says, go take those cases, guys.
Nice.
It was charged in federal.
So, yeah, so Gallatin County, the Soros-style prosecutor says, I'm going to drop these drug charges against this guy. So, well, maybe the feds can go after it instead. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, just what a travesty. But, hey, look, folks in Bozeman and Gallatin County, you know, if you're on the edge about whether you want to continue voting for Democrats, this should be both of these stories should be dramatic eye-openers for the people in Gallatin County. I mean, Gallatin County used to be red, used to be a Republican county, and then pre-COVID-19, you had all these San Francisco liberals invade the valley. And what else stood out to you with that conversation? Because to me, you know, when he was trying to say, well, we're just worried about the rights of these illegal aliens, we're worried about due process. It's like you didn't care about the rights and the due process of downtown businesses during COVID-19. But so you don't even care about the rights of your own citizens, but yet you claim to be concerned about the so-called rights of these non-citizens.
What stands out to me about it is basically a continuing theme we've been talking about on your show for years, is that probably a lot of Montanans think that my local Democrat is not like Joe Biden, is not like Jasmine Crockett, is not like Adam Schiff. Well, yes, they are. They are all the same. They are cookie cutter communists, every single one of them. See here, Montana, because you're a massive red state, a lot of them try to, they run it quiet, low key. But the minute you put them on the spotlight, every bit of their communist dogma comes out.
Yeah, eventually their colors will start to show. Yeah, because like this Gallatin County attorney, she started by saying, hey, I'm going to be tough on crime and I'm going to reopen these old cases and go after these old cases. Okay, well, what's happening with that? you know, but it, now all we see is you dropping cases and you standing in the way of holding criminals accountable and keeping Gallatin Valley a hotbed for illegal alien crime. That's all we're seeing now. So eventually their true colors start to show. That's for sure. All right, let's sneak in a caller here. We've got Kat in Eastern Montana first up. Kat, what's going on?
Well, good morning, Aaron and John, and thanks to our veterans. Flip flop flat top, the seven finger dirt farm messiah, driving his Prius to the MSDNC network studio, drinking his low tea cranberry vodkas, tanking the ratings even more, if that's even possible. Then we have Biden Harris senior staffer on CNN supporting taking land away from white South Africans and says, hey, they can go back to Germany. Funny she supports that for whites, but whoa, buddy, not for illegals in our own country. Then I came up with the best idea in the spirit of Republicans who are really Democrats, a.k.a. rhinos in our state. I have decided to take one for the team, and if I run for office in Montana, I'm going to run in Butte as a Democrat, making me the first person to ever do exactly what Dems do to Republicans. Then go to Helena and vote in lockstep with the Montana Freedom Caucus. Sounds like a win to me. And I wanted to let everybody know, my Rhino webpage will soon be updated with the Rhino scores, and if you haven't heard, you can find that at rhinoremovalmt.com. God bless you, gentlemen, and God bless Montana. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Kat. Man, running as a Democrat. Talk about having a scarlet letter on your chest these days, you know.
See, that works. That works if you're a Republican, you know, in sheep's clothing, actually a Democrat. But if you were to try to do what Kat's talking about, see, they would primary you and knock you out of there right away. No, they all know who you are, and no way would Democrat-based voters ever vote for you. That's a big difference.
For people who are wondering about the flip-flop, flat-top reference, John Tester landed a new gig. We thanks to Joan in Billings, I shared the story on our Montana Talks website yesterday afternoon. Flip Flop Flat Top is now a contributor for MS-13 NBC.
So I just have one question. You know, those studio chairs in there, have they been stress tested? Because
they have been now.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to be because you're talking about 350 pounds bouncing up and down on this thing. I mean, it's not your normal guest in there. They're going to have to do it. You know, like how they do for Tyrus on show.
He's
they're
a cool big dude.
Extra wide.
He's got a house in Montana.
Tyrus does.
Yeah. Okay. We'll have to. Maybe he can join us in studio one of these days. But yeah, well, John Tester, what are you going to do after you suffered this massive loss in the Senate race? I'm just going to go back to the farm. Oh, give me a break. And here he is with his new gig on MS-13 NBC, this far left outfit. The guy was a fake phony moderate, and the fake phony media covered for him every step of the way. Oh, he's a moderate dirt farmer. Give me a break.
That guy has never stopped. Ever since November, he's been crying in his vodka cranberries there at the frickin' Bistro Cacao. He hadn't hit the dirt farm not once.
All right. Hey, he said freaking, by the way, just in case anybody's keeping track there. Just for the monitors. All right, we got, Andrew Swedenborg in Billings and Ron in Belgrade. Stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Will AI, artificial intelligence, affect economic growth? It already has. Billions are being spent on developing the tools, building the computing capacity, and then planning and building the infrastructure to support it. That money is coming from investors who see its potential to disrupt and ultimately dominate industries and activities across the economy. If that sounds like hype, that's because it is. But in some parts of the economy, it's also reality. Writing computer code, for example, has been improved enough by AI today that we can expect a much faster expansion of digitization across the economy starting right now. But for physical processes, progress is slower. Self-driving cars are a case in point. The idea of computer learning is basic to AI, and so fed tons of data on driving situations and driving outcomes, machines should be able to drive better than humans in short order. Yet that goal has been surprisingly difficult and expensive to achieve. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Another state says its legislature is allowed to ban high-capacity magazines. Washington State Supreme Court rules that magazines holding 10 or more rounds aren't protected under the U.S. Constitution's Second Amendment. The opinion of Washington State's top court is that magazines aren't arms, as generally thought. but merely an accessory to a firearm. The case involves a Washington state-based business, Gator Custom Guns, and their alleged non-compliance with the state's ban on magazines holding more than 10 rounds, as they still had the item for sale. Lawyers from the Silent Majority Foundation representing the business argued that, among other things, the semi-automatic firearms require the magazine to hold and help feed the ammunition. The ruling from the Washington High Court was 7-2. Now the Silent Majority Foundation is weighing options to make a federal case. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, John, let's throw this story out there here for a second. We've been talking about all the illegal aliens in Gallatin County. The 1,000 illegal aliens are what the feds estimate are in Montana, with the bulk of them in Gallatin County. So let's go to this Gallatin County story here. I shared this on X here just within the last 12 hours. This was from KBZK.com. And we'll sneak this one here before we get to our next caller. The Gallatin City County Health Department reported today that all 8 cases of measles reported in April have recovered and the individuals are no longer isolated. I wonder how measles made its way into America.
It's a riddle wrapped in a mystery, wrapped in an enigma. I mean, we'll never know, Aaron. We'll never know why it is that 8 guys named Jose all have measles here in Gallatin County. We'll never know. We'll never know the truth.
Now, we don't know if it's 8 guys named Jose or if it's an American family or what, but it is interesting that they don't tell us any background about who these people are. That we do know that they traveled outside of the country. Okay, so, but here's the thing. You read the comments, and the liberal leftists, they're like, it's RFK's fault. It's the moms who don't vax their kids' fault. It's like, you've always had families that haven't vaxxed their kids in American history. What has changed? 15 to 20 million illegal aliens, mostly unvaxxed, that entered the country and brought who knows what with them.
If it's that, then show the names. Produce the names. I mean, John Jackson right here is putting up on the betting board here on your window right now. John Jackson, like in Vegas, you know, like in the sports book, John Jackson is laying 3-1. 3-1. I'm taking all bets at 3-1 that we got 8 guys named Jose over there in Dallas. I guarantee you.
Yeah, but it's also kind of interesting that, all those people that had measles in Gallatin County, they're fine. They're recovered. They're fine. So,
but you know what? I think if nothing else, we need to make sure and get all 8 of those guys a Montana driving permit. You know, just so. Well, if you're a Republican legislature, let's make sure the Republican House. Let's make sure and do that. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Ron in Belgrade, since we're talking illegal aliens and measles and more. Ron, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Well, hey, Aaron. It's good to talk to you here. A couple of things. One is, we look back when Cromwell got elected, Marty Lambert was our county attorney in Gallatin County, and he was a complete rhino. You talk about the COVID and the fact that nobody was standing up for rights. Lambert and his office was the one that wasn't doing it. So I believe with the way that he reacted during COVID, that drove people to go for Cromwell, because at least with her, you know the kind of shenanigans you're going to get. It is, and hopefully now we'll see that people in Gallatin County will see, with Cromwell in there, we need to have a good, strong county attorney. So Lambert kind of gave that office up to the Democrats because he failed as the Gallatin County prosecutor big time.
And he's since,
so we got to remember that one.
He's since passed away, but he was county attorney when they were out there, you know, poking these business owners in the chest with the COVID-19 garbage. And we had a caller the day after the election, you know, say that very point that, like, hey, had he stood up for freedom and for businesses, he probably wouldn't have lost that race back then. But I do think Ron's right here as well. Ron, great to hear from you. Call in more often. But, John, I think he's right here. It's just like when Bullock was governor during COVID-19, he exposed himself. And the people of Montana said heck no to the Democrats as a result. what Joe Biden and John Tester did over the last 4 years. Unfortunately, I think people had to see how bad things would get before our country could finally start moving in the right direction again. And so, unfortunately, sometimes bad things need to happen for better things to happen down the road. And maybe the people of Gallatin County have to suffer through these Democrat county commissioners and this Democrat county attorney before they finally wake up and stop voting for these people.
And we've been talking about that dynamic for a long time. And unfortunately, it is for so many people out there. They have to get that 2x4 brought down between their eyes, not just once, but like a half a dozen times before they sit up and, you know, actually decide to maybe go out and vote, you know, first of all, and vote for the right person. But see, here's the thing. What can happen to you in life is by the sixth time that 2x4 comes down between your eyes, you've cracked your skull open and you're not coming back from it. Right.
Yeah, good points. Next up on the phone lines here, great special operations veteran, a Marine Corps veteran here in Montana, Andrew Swedenborg. Drew, great to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, thanks for having me again, Aaron. You guys had me cracking up like crazy, and I just want to say I'm super excited that the Beach Step Well, that is the SS flip-flopper tester, landed on some other shore besides Montana. But in a good note with the immigration stuff, I don't know specifically where they're headed, but the South Africans that are coming to the United States, I believe there's only like 20 or 30 of them, but there's probably about several hundred here in Montana already. But if you go into the historical relevance, most of those people are being pushed off their land, or their land's being taken back by the South African government. But that land that they're taking back is ranching land. And there's been a few that I've had interactions with here in Montana that are just amazing ranchers. They're enhancing the ranching community, and they're coming in legally. And so that may benefit Montana quite a bit.
Yeah, I've actually had a couple callers. I had one caller, and I was like, that's an interesting accent. I wasn't sure if it was Australian or what at the time, and he was South African. He talked about coming from South Africa. Yeah, Drew, great to hear from you. John, isn't it interesting? Like, there's like a tiny, tiny number of South African refugees. You have white farmers and ranchers that are being murdered, kidnapped, targeted. Heck, I just saw a story. Fox News Radio had a story earlier this morning. There was a pastor, a white pastor, who got kidnapped at gunpoint for being white. And so, but the Democrats are all in a tizzy because a tiny, tiny number of white farmers from South Africa are going to be able to come as refugees when they would give anybody the refugee button.
How these people are not struck by lightning on a daily basis is just a miracle. I mean, you're talking galactic hypocrisy, right? But what goes on in South Africa, what's been going on there for years, is racial genocide, and everyone knows it. They just don't care because it's conservative white people that are getting murdered, and that's just the nasty truth of it.
Yeah, it's crazy what's going on in South Africa right now. Let's see, the SS Flipper. Was that? I could hear you laughing in the background when Drew called in and was talking about. Thankfully, the SS Flipper got beached on another shore instead of Montana. Because, yeah, I think, you know, it's funny. I shared that story yesterday kind of as a throwaway because I thought, you know, people will be interested in reading this news, so I'll throw it on our website. I was amazed at all the people that were just responding to that story because I think they're so disgusted by what the Democrats did to this country and by what the Democrats did to Montana that when they see John Tester getting some stupid gig like an MS-13 MAC, they're just still so mad. They're so ticked off at what the Democrats did to Montana.
I don't know how long Big Boy's going to make it there on MSNBC, and I'll tell you why. He's just not their kind of guy. He really not. He's going to have to get a big, like, Q-tip afro and work on his ghetto speak, you know, and really get that ghetto speak down. He's just going to have to change his whole persona.
Well, it's funny because his whole career was built around him fake talking points, pretending to be a moderate. Well, MSNBC, they want the real thing. You don't need to fake it for them. They want you to just give it to them, you know. And so I think it's going to be a tough position for him because like his whole career has been built around being a phony, and eventually he's going to have to be real or he's going to lose the gig.
Well, they want him in there, you know, kind of like Tim. Governor Tim Walz is talking about co-talking to the white folks.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they want him in there for. He's going to be able to co-talk and tell you what middle America wants because he was a senator of Montana for 18 years.
Except for you ain't going to be talking to middle America nope. with those elitists looking down their nose at the rest of the country. Nobody wants that garbage. Let's go to Willie in Paradise Valley. Willie, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good morning, guys. I just wanted to throw something out. I've been going to call in, but when you had the minority leader on the Thursday gigs that you were doing during the session, one thing that stuck out at me there that was kind of disturbing is they were talking about the school funding or something, but he said he didn't want to eliminate different things because they wanted to have a hand in the kids' education and that, and that's why they were against giving credit to the homeschoolers and stuff, too, and I thought that was interesting that he basically laid it out that they think they're better off teaching our kids and the parents and the homeschoolers and stuff. So I just thought that was kind of disturbing that he threw that out there. But that we know that's where they're coming from. So,
you know, very good point. Very good point. Will, hey, by the way, Willie, did you see that big grizz down there by Yankee Jim Canyon? I got some.
No, I heard about him, but I've had enough problems with grizz in my time, too. But, yeah, that's interesting. They're going to. We all know, don't get me started on that, there's too many grizzly bears in the state, and everybody knows it, and you come up to Paradise Valley, and they got big billboards out there that they're not a trophy and this and that, but those people that have never had to actually deal with one, if one of them come at them, they'd either wet themselves, if not worse, so don't tell me how to work with the grizzly bears and stuff, so I don't care if I ever see another one, but
yeah.
I'm not against them, but I don't want to see them in my backyard.
Well, there's just too many of them. There's too many. They should have been delisted from the endangered species list long time ago. Yeah, it was right by the Carbella campground. It's a BLM campground there, just north of Yankee Jim Canyon, and I've camped not too far from there myself, but
Yankee Jim, is that the canyon at the north entrance up there going into
So you head south of Livingston, and right. then you push down, you know, through Paradise Valley, you go past Chico Hot Springs,
yeah.
and then, not too far south from Chico Hot Springs, and then Yankee Jim Canyon is where that narrow canyon hits, and you see the rapids of the Yellowstone River, and then you keep driving south into Gardner, and then right into Mammoth and Yellowstone National Park, so, yeah.
I tell you, what I've seen a lot is, you see, like, this is supposed to be a really, really big bear that they saw there at Yankee Jim. Most of them are not your problems. You know, what's your problem are all the juveniles. Those 1 to 3 year old bears, those are the ones that are your big problems.
Well, there's lots of problems with juveniles. We all know how that goes. Yeah. Well, look at the Trende Aragua gangbangers in New York City that are fighting with the cops. I mean,
teenagers.
13 years old. I think one was a 12 year old.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Back after this.
Broadcasting live across the big sky. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John Jackson, the Joker from X in the house here. Oh, good. The mighty Human Z, he wants to talk about the same topic that I want to talk about here. That's good because that always ties in well here. So did you hear, before we get to Z, let's get our listeners in on the joke here as well. So David Hoag, right? He's this
hog.
It's hog. So he's this. He looks like he should be on MSNBC, except for he needs really uppity looking glasses that he can look down at us through. You know, he's this far left gun control activist who has basically taken over the Democrat National Committee, and. And anyway, so he was on Bill Maher's program on Friday, and he's trying to be cool like Bill Maher. And he's trying to talk about how the Democrats have screwed everything up. And David Hoag, I think Raymond Arroyo and Laura Ingraham shared the clip last night. Yeah, here we go. This is from Laura Ingraham's show last night. This is what this David Hoag guy is saying is wrong with the Democrats.
What I think happened last election is younger men, they would rather vote for somebody who feels, who even if they don't completely agree with, they don't feel judged by, than somebody who they do agree with, that they feel like they have to walk on eggshells around constantly. Young people should be able to focus on what young people should be focused on, which is how to get laid and how to go and have fun.
So that's what he says is wrong with the Democrat Party. He says that's why, you know, so many young people voted for Donald J. Trump and the Republicans is because they just want to focus on getting laid and having fun. And it's like, And Raymond Arroyo had some great remarks. I'm going to play remarks from Charlie Kirk here in a second, but it's like, that's not what's happening with young people. Young people aren't saying, oh, yeah, we want to go do whatever and screw our lives up like previous generations have done, right? Like, actually, young people are kind of figuring out, like, there's actually more to life. We saw all the garbage of COVID-19, and there's a deeper purpose behind life.
Well, I don't know if you heard, but Hog is getting ready to get slaughtered. Hog is being taken to the slaughterhouse because they want him gone, and they've already found in some committee or some vote that his election, I believe he's vice chair, that his election was not correct, was invalid because it didn't meet their DEI requirements. So they are prepping the field to kick him out.
Better go non-binary real fast. I'll tell you what, you know, yeah, when they had those whole elections, it was just hilarious because here they just got their butts kicked because of their radical transgender agenda and open borders. And yet they doubled down and they were like, well, we need to have this many women and this many transgender and this many non-binary. I mean, it was just a woke circus. Well, before I get to Charlie Kirk's comments, let's see what the mighty human Z has to say. Z, good to hear from you.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. You know, if you take a look at David Hogg, there's an article in New York Post. That dude ain't getting laid. At least not getting laid the way he should be getting laid. I don't know. So, and if you need the non-parage, you go to the rest stops. You know what I'm saying? But here's the deal. Last week, Wall Street Journal had a big article on how AOC is the voice of the party. So if AOC is the voice of the party, I say that the party needs its soul, and that is Mr. Hogg. We can teach him to do jazz hands, so he can do a younger version of Tim Walz, and that's what I want, 2026 and 2028.
Oh, man. Maybe that's what's fueling all the rage. You know, the angry hate that fuels the Democrats and the left these days. Maybe that, remember, actually, that was a theory behind radical Islamic terrorism, that there were all these dudes. There was too many dudes in some of these countries, and there weren't enough women. Or, you know, a few dudes were marrying too many of the women, and so these guys were just angry, and that's why they became terrorists, is because they weren't... They weren't having any luck with the ladies.
Well, I hate to break this to you, Aaron, or to the listeners, but you could get as many women over in some of those Islamist countries as you want to, and it's not going to help because that ain't what they're into.
It's still going to be it's Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
all right.
The man love going on.
Well,
here.
Anyway, that was funny to hear Z's reaction to this story about David Hogg, whatever. Charlie Kirk had a great response. He was on with Jesse Waters last night. You know, with the new pope that was just elected pope, a lot of people have been talking about how apparently the Catholic Church numbers are going up. But the point that Charlie Kirk made is it's not just the Catholic Church. It's churches across the board, apparently, are starting to see an increase in people sitting in the pews, specifically the younger generation. That's why when Hogue says, these young people, they just want to, you know, get laid and not be judged. Here's what Charlie Kirk had to say.
How nihilistic and also how dismissive of all the concerns that young people are feeling right now. The Democrats the last couple of years, and Hogg is half right about this, they have lost young people, especially young men. When I go to these college campuses, though, they don't just want to have more degeneracy or debauchery. They're looking for something greater, something higher. They're in the pursuit of something good and true and beautiful. Remember, if you're on a college campus right now, the very young people that we at Turning Point USA are winning over, large in part thanks to President Trump, you suffered under the lies and the deception of COVID, of wearing a mask while you shower, of the ninth booster shot, of the hyper-policing of every pronoun and every syllable that you say. And they want something greater than that, not something darker and something that is rooted in a cynical worldview. And David Hogg is so dismissive of young people that want to have a mission, that want to have meaning, that don't just want to pursue what makes them feel good, but instead young people increasingly want to do good. This is also why we're seeing young people go back to church. According to Axios, a story just a couple days ago, church attendance is going up large in part thanks to young Gen Z men. David Hogg is selling a very dark worldview, and we are going to embrace one that lifts people up and one that is rooted in eternal principles.
Interesting. Yeah, John, your thoughts. I'll have to go check out that Axios piece.
Well, I think he hit it there in that when he said Hogg is half right. And with everything, because I have a teenage daughter.
Yeah, I think he is half right. I think there are kids that are like, hey, we just want to go have fun and enjoy college, and these jerks canceled all the fun, right?
But with everything surrounding them today and with all the pressure, not only from their peers, from society, and from social media, that's the big thing, right, is they found that, wow, there's this place, this church, where I can just be myself. I can sit down. I can just breathe out. I can exhale. I cannot be judged. And people love me just for who I am and accept me for who I am. That's got to be a factor there.
Well, and I think, too, I mean, part of what's driven this crazy transgender agenda and driven the numbers up is, you know, it's because Hollywood promoted it. That's why all these Hollywood people all have, non-binary, transgender, whatever kids is, because that's what they think is the hip, new cool thing. But I think there was such a push for diversity and all this different stuff that eventually little kids started to realize, like, man, if I want to feel special, I have to, you know, pretend to be something that I'm not. And what church reminds them is that, no, you are special just the way that God made you. And it's, so it's just an interesting, just the way the world will be this roller coaster. And, you know, you go through good times and then people get lazy, and then you go through bad times, and then hard times create strong men create good times create weak men. And it's been a cyclical thing throughout world history.
Oh, I think you're like they always say, there's no atheists in foxholes. You ever heard that that expression, right?
Yeah.
Bad times will make you look to that higher power. It always does.
And not only are there no atheists in foxholes, but don't keep those Skittles from the MRE pouch in your pocket when you're in a foxhole either, because there are a lot of ants in Fort Benning foxholes.
A friend's son is getting ready to go to Ranger here in the fall. And so the first thing I told his mom, I said, get you some, that chigaway. You remember?
The little chigger bites you get on your ankles.
Most people, if you're from, most of the United States, you don't even know what a chigger is. And man, those things will eat you alive.
Down south, yeah, you just have itchy ankles for the whole time. Yeah.
The other thing I told him was, they can't stop the clock. Remember that.
The clock keeps ticking.
The clock.
Yeah. Man, it was funny. One time we were interviewing Tim Sheehy, now Senator Tim Sheehy, and of course everybody knows he's a Navy SEAL veteran, but he actually also went through Army Ranger School, and I think he went through Ranger School before he went through SEAL Buds.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool. He shared a photo last week, now that he's a senator and goes to all these official events. Army Ranger, I think now he's probably a command sergeant major or a master sergeant, something like that, but Sheehy shared a photo with this guy. He said, this guy was my instructor at the Ranger Regiment 20 years ago, and then now he runs into him here later today. But one time I asked now Senator Sheehy, I said, what was harder, Ranger school with the Army or SEAL training buds with the Navy? And he said the thing with the Navy SEAL training was I got weekends off. He's like, so you had the weekend to recover. He said, with Army Ranger School, there's no recovery. There's no weekends off. It's just nonstop suck.
Well, we had guys on our teams that had done both, on my teams. And that's what the same thing they tell you is that, of course, there are individual parts of BUDS that are really, really hard. But most of BUDS is designed to train you and build you up, whereas Ranger the entire time is designed to break you. From start to finish.
And just see what you can do in the face of all that. Well, that's why there's so much respect. I know as a guy who was an infantryman, whenever you'd see somebody with that Ranger tab, just much respect for that. All right, quick break here. Just a quick few minutes left with John Jackson, the Joker from X. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, speaking of Navy SEALs, statewide town hall meeting with Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
An illegal alien who allegedly tried to rape a four-year-old girl in Virginia was cleared for release by a prosecutor in a Democratic-run Fairfax County. ISIS swooped in to take custody of this illegal accused of trying to kidnap and rape a four-year-old after Fairfax County prosecutors dropped the case against this individual, a Honduran immigrant being held by ICE at Caroline Detention Center, Caroline County. According to court documents, a man broke into the home of where this four-year-old and her mother were asleep in separate beds in a room. The mother woke to see the window blinds rustling and heard the girl yelling, and from the living room, the girl said a big man grabbed her from her bed and tried to carry her out, but apparently abandoned the plans when she started screaming.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Attention retirement savers. J.P. Morgan predicts a 2025 recession as tariffs rattle markets. According to Forbes, 2025 recession risks just increased significantly. And Ray Dalio warns of a more serious global breakdown. That's why thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to the award-winning precious metals company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you could get unlimited bonus silver if you qualify. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to find out how you can help diversify your savings tax and penalty free today. Help protect what you've worked so hard for before it's too late. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
Fox Rocks.
I'm Michelle Perino. Dead & Company will wrap up their run at the Sphere in Las Vegas this weekend. The celebration of the Grateful Dead's 60th anniversary is far from over. According to Variety, the band will play three shows this summer at San Francisco's Golden Gate Park, taking place August 1st through the 3rd. Meanwhile, the legacy of CBGB, the legendary New York club that helped launch Patti Smith, Talking Heads, and the Ramones will be honored September 27th at the first ever CBGB Festival. Iggy Pop and Jack White will headline the event set for the new Under the K Bridge Park in Brooklyn. The three-stage lineup includes the Sex Pistols with new frontman Frank Carter, Johnny Marr, Marky Ramone, the Damned, Gorilla Biscuits, Melvins, the Linda Lindas, Lunachicks, Scal, Murphy's Law, and more. Attendees will also get to see pieces of history, including the original bar and stage. Tickets go on sale Friday. That's Fox Rocks on Fox.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, you're familiar with the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the TV show from the 90s, right?
I am.
Will Smith, the actor and the rapper, and then he got backhand slapped. Who backhand slapped him? Who was it?
Well, he slapped
Chris Rock. Chris Rock. That's right. All right. So most people know who Will Smith is, but Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Did you ever watch the show much at all?
No.
You didn't get that down in South America. You got, what did you get? Seinfeld,
The Simpsons.
Okay, yeah. Well, so do you know who Carlton is, though, from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
I heard the name.
So he's like the nerdy guy that wears He's like the rich kid that wears the cardigan polos and does the nerdy white guy dance. And then there's Will Smith, who's the Fresh Prince, who's the cool one, right? That's who, to me, Jasmine Crockett, this Texas congresswoman, she is Carlton, but she pretends to be the Fresh Prince because she grew up with this, you know, privileged background, went to really expensive private schools, and she talks like Carlton normally. But now that she's a Democratic congresswoman, she has to really do it up. She has to really, you know, try to sound like the Fresh Prince.
So there's a lot of people that are like, you know what? Like, let's go find the safest white boy we can find. I mean, I'm just saying.
Those are the callers that we're hearing. We're hearing people.
No, for real.
A white man's got to do it.
For real, John.
So for folks who didn't hear that clip earlier in the week, so Jasmine Crockett is saying that Democrat donors is saying we can't have any more women running for president because, you know, Hillary screwed up, Kamala screwed up, so they need to find the safest white boy they can find.
I'm going to disagree right here. I do not want the safest white boy. I want Jasmine Crockett on 2028. Crockett
2028. Absolutely, 100%. No, I think we've been racist for far too long. Nobody told me the road was going to be easy, right? You know, Hillary Clinton. No, no, absolutely. She's absolutely right here. We need a Jasmine Crockett or somebody like her at the top of the ticket, 100%.
Yeah, so anyway, so everybody is assuming that she's referring to California Governor Gavin Newsom, but I don't see why he is considered a safe pick. The guy was a disaster. He's been a disaster for California. He shut down beaches. He didn't want people to ride bicycles outside during COVID-19. But then again, the voting public can oftentimes have a short memory, and the liberal media will do their best to cover it up. But I mean, the only guy I could think of is maybe the Pennsylvania governor, but he's Jewish, and the Democrats ain't having that.
Oh, no, their entire Muslim base ain't having that. But no, see, the thing, you watch voters. They can have a guy that's got an 8-15-year record of pure failure. But they watch that guy on Hannity for an hour and say that guy is like Newsom. And Newsom is good, man. You got to hand it to the guy. I mean, he is really good.
He's a little too smooth, too slick.
He's articulate. He's smooth. He's handsome. I mean, he gets on there and talks for an hour, and all these voters will walk and be like, yeah, you know, I like him. He sounds good to me.
So, he's so smooth, though, that I think he's untrustworthy.
Well, see, you and I see that, but I'm just talking about your average voter out there. They listen to that guy for an hour, and they're like, oh, it's like a bird watching a snake. They're like, oh, yeah, he sounds good to me. All hail Plankton. All hail Plankton.
Hey, I know we only got about a minute to go. You wanted to talk about President Trump's successes over the weekend. Let's get to that. His first 100 days, or his next 100 days, India-Pakistan ceasefire-China trade deal, hostages getting released, you name it.
That's it. And Clay Travis had this great tweet where he said, just this weekend, just over the weekend, Trump announced a trade deal with China, brokered an in-person meeting between Ukraine and Russia, helped stop the war between India and Pakistan, announced an end to Big Pharma U.S. profiteering, and got the final American hostage released from Hamas. That's just his light work over the weekend. He's doing more over 2 days than most presidents get done in 2 years.
Lee, our Marine Corps veteran with Power Plus Pain Aid out of Big Fork, he said, there's Skittles in the MREs? Oh, yeah, Skittles, M&Ms. I think he was more Desert Storm era, though. So, yeah, by the post-9/11 crowd.
Hot sauce, little hot sauce bottles.
Yeah, I don't like Tabasco, though. I like the if they put Texas Pete's in there, I'd be all about it, you know.
But, oh, that gives you a little spice. Huh?
They should put some Power Plus Pain Aid in there.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Will AI, artificial intelligence, affect economic growth? It already has. Billions are being spent on developing the tools, building the computing capacity, and in planning and building the infrastructure to support it. That money is coming from investors who see its potential to disrupt and ultimately dominate industries and activities across the economy. If that sounds like hype, that's because it is. But in some parts of the economy, it's also reality. Writing computer code, for example, has been improved enough by AI today that we can expect a much faster expansion of digitization across the economy starting right now. But for physical processes, progress is slower. Self-driving cars are a case in point. The idea of computer learning is basic to AI, and so fed tons of data on driving situations and driving outcomes, machines should be able to drive better than humans in short order. Yet that goal has been surprisingly difficult and expensive to achieve. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.